Spring is coming. Oh, I've just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? How many of you enjoyed camp meeting here Wednesday night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it just wonderful? Amen. We're so blessed and so honored and so just such a blessed people to get to come to the house of the Lord. A lot of folks' desire is gone. It's just don't even care about it no more. But I'm glad there's still something right here that makes me want to come to the house of God. How about you? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Saturday night, camp meeting time. Play it one more time, guys. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God, He's come.
say praise the Lord? Amen. Well, God bless you. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Got a lot of things we want to let you know about. I want you to remember tonight in prayer, Norman Davis, his wife Wanda Davis. Norman took a very bad fall down a flight of steps and is really, really in bad condition in the hospital. And his wife, Wanda, she suffers from dementia real bad and just a real delicate situation. I want you to remember those folks, that whole Davis family. Just remember them in prayer tonight as we pray. Also, I want you to remember Dean Livingston in prayer, apostolic pastor from over in Bristol, Souls Harbor. Been a lifelong friend. I've probably known him 60 years, and he's at death's door. They're just not expecting him to make it through the night. So I want you to pray for the mercy of the Lord and just the will of God, and pray for the Livingston family, that the Lord would just gird them with His love and keep His hand upon them. We just real good folks, and we want you to remember those folks tonight in prayer. This was sent to the library from Tanya Van Logrenberg. Please have the church to pray for a young man by the name of Johan from South America. He has been in a car accident a few months ago, really needs God's help for a total recovery. His family also needs prayer, so they're asking that we would remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful. Brother Baker seeking deliverance in his body, so let's pray that the Lord would touch him tonight. I want to pray for this Brother Pinky. Sister Phillips says to please pray for our daughter Michelle and our grandson Caleb, who has a terrible ear infection. Let's remember that request tonight. Also, we want to pray for Sister Sharon Ward, Brother Rocky, just the Ward family, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for Lance Clark, has a very high fever and a lot of cold symptoms. So let's remember him in prayer tonight. Sister Sherry Wiggins offers this testimony. During the prayer line, I brought a list of needs. The Lord answered one of those needs yesterday, and I want to praise Him and thank Him. If you went through the prayer line and haven't received your request yet, keep holding on. The Lord answers in just the right season, and we believe that, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know that God is able to meet whatever you have need of in this service tonight? Are you glad you're a believer tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you? Are you glad you love each other? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. As we stand tonight, Brother West, come and take these needs to the Lord. We just commit these things unto the Lord and ask Him to have His divine will. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen, Brother West. God bless you, buddy. I appreciate you. God bless you.
It's, I'd like to say real quick, we were out of town visiting some of Lisa's family. She has an aunt who's ill, and we wanted to see her before her time comes to pass away. And she was actually doing pretty good when we got there, and we had a really good visit, but we missed you all so much. I hate being away. I was I hate to admit this, but I was just miserable not being here. And it was so refreshing to get back. I'm just now starting to level out because I missed you all so bad and missed being here so bad. And missed being in the services, and it broke my heart when we found out that, you know, we were having the deliverance service and we couldn't be here. I tried to figure out some way to come back, and maybe couldn't work it out. And I was so upset not to be here. I was praying for you though, and I know that it was wonderful testimonies coming from that service. We serve a mighty God. When you get away. And you get away from here, you get away from your church family, and you get out there. You know, we were out in Massachusetts up north, and just so many strange things, you know, that you see when you're away from all the believers, and you just feel so isolated and so alone, and it's so good. I hate to keep repeating myself, but it's so good to be back. And let's just bow our hearts and pray to the Lord now. Father, Brother Louis was talking about this friend of his, this brother that's right at the point of crossing over, Lord, and the family, and everybody's probably going through a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, Lord. And no matter how strong our faith is, or or how much love we have in our homes, or how much love we have for you, Lord. Facing death is always an uncertainty and a problem for some of the people who are exposed to it, Lord. We know, Lord, that you can reveal yourself, Lord, through times like that. You can touch people's hearts and you can speak to them. And I ask you to bring comfort, Lord, and I ask you to make your voice clear and heard, Lord, among that family and among the friends that are gathered around. And as this brother starts to cross over and into a point where he's going to meet you, Lord. Lord, I hope that he's prepared. I ask that if he's not, that you give him that one last chance, Lord, before his last breath, to where he can make things right with you. Sounds like he's a fine man, Lord, but we know that we have to have that moment with you where it's just you and us, nobody else. Lord, I ask you to have mercy if there's room for that in this time, Lord, for him and his family. And Lord, for all these other requests, Lord, for all these testimonies that we get. Lord, we're so grateful that we have a God who listens, who cares, who loves us. In this lost world, Lord, it's so precious to know that our God hears our voice, that he listens to us. When we're at our lowest point, you're right there, right? Not just with us, but in us, speaking to us, leading us by your Spirit and guiding us. Father, it's such a precious thing that nothing can compare. The things of this world can't compare. There's no lofty goals here in this world that could draw us away from you at this point, Lord. We thank you for the revelation you've given us. We thank you for the men of God you've set aside to speak your word. I thank you for your servant who's back here right now praying and getting ready, Lord, to come and bring your precious word to us. Lord, we want to hear you. We want you to speak to us. We're ready, Lord. Our arms are open. Our hearts are open. Give us revelation. Don't let us leave here, Lord, unless we're better than we came. Help us, Father, to grow closer to you. Help us to give you what you deserve. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. We don't want to take anything for granted. We don't want to take this service for granted, Lord. Lord, it's such a precious thing. When we're away, we realize the value of it even more. And Lord, we just want to give you everything you deserve tonight. We want you to have the freedom to speak to us without any hindrance, without anything in the way. Lord, we want to speak right now in your name to any evil or darkness that would come against this service or the people here tonight to hinder us from hearing you, to hear us from drawing closer. Lord, help us. Push it away, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for everything that you're going to do, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time and receive the evening offering, you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service, we pray that the Lord would certainly bless those folks as well. I want to welcome some folks from Arizona. Sarah Alvarado Diaz, her mother and her two children, Sister Sarah Carol, these are friends of that family. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand tonight? Wherever you are in the building, give them a nice hand. I don't see them, but give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to have you here. And also let me announce that Brother Keith Buchanan and his family will be here with us in the morning. Be doing the special singing during the service. They're coming to see Sister Sharon Ward, Sister Shirley Buchanan, Brother Keith, and all the family will be here, and they'll be doing the singing. So that's something to look forward to. Some good singing in the morning, so we'll have some good singing here tonight. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of that chorus tonight. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Can we do that tonight? How many of you willing to do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross. Cross, follow Jesus.
sing it that fast.
Let's try it again.
What are you doing for the King? Have you really given everything for the one who gave his all? You don't you be sad. So have you forgotten what you need to do?
Tonight, when the storms of life are raging, Lord, stand by us. And they're certainly raging in this old world that we're living in. I'm glad this world is not my final destiny. I've got a better place to go to. I've got something to look forward to. How about you tonight? Are you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. When the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the world it's tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water,
stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation,
Lord,
You sung really, really good tonight. We certainly appreciate that. You can be seated. I believe Sister Chloe, if I'm right, Brother Larry, has a song for us. Am I right? If she'll come onto the platform at this time, give her a nice hand tonight as she gets ready to sing for us.
Care of me. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Coming for to carry me on. But still my soul feels heaven bound. Coming for to carry me on. A swing low, a sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me on. A swing low, a sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me
service tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Is that right? You're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. I know my Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad you have that assurance tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know. Sing it one more time. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know
my Redeemer lives. That this life. I'm so glad of that tonight. I'm so glad that God has given us a Redeemer, not just a Savior. Jesus just isn't my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my husband. Praise the Lord. To many people, He's their Savior, but He's not their husband. You see, it seems complicated in one sense. You look at it. Jesus, when He was here on the earth and He preached the Word, Paul could have come years later and said, I preach what Jesus preached, which is true. But Jesus would have to turn around and say, but I didn't preach everything that Paul preached. Why? Wasn't time for it to be preached. Right? Brother Branham could say, I preached everything Paul preached. But Paul would have to turn around and say, but I sure didn't preach everything you did. Why? One time. The church can say, He saved me. He's my Savior. He healed me. I don't want you to say He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my husband. He's my everything. And tonight we're going to look at Him as being our executor again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. I hope you come to have church tonight. If you come to play, please leave right now. Okay? Because we come to have church. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament. that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. This is the Old Testament, of course, the Old Covenant. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So if it's eternal, then it never started and it never can end. Right? Eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now listen to this again. For a testament is a force after men are dead. So when Jesus is here alive, walking on the earth, and he's preaching about people, to people, and they're able to be healed, and different ones are able to catch the light of the day, but yet none of them have experienced what we would call today a new birth. They couldn't, because the death of the testator had not happened. But they were receiving light as far as they could. You understand that? Once the testator dies, then they're able to receive the life of the Word. Now notice, a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Oh, Father, I thank you tonight for mercy. I thank you for your grace, your love to us. I thank you for once again a privilege that we have of assembling ourselves here in the house of God. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love church. I love your people. I love your word. I love your presence. I love you just for everything that you are, for everything you mean to us, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd take the word tonight and speak to us. Anoint us, I pray, with your presence. Just speak to us in a special way, Lord, that when we leave this place, we'll know that it wasn't Donnie Reagan. We'll know it wasn't some other man. But we'll know by the way that the bread was broke, it was the Lord Jesus himself. Speak to us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'm sure that you all believe with me that there is a church natural and a church spiritual. Anybody believes that? There is a church natural, which are people that love God. They are saved. Many of them are walking in possibly everything that they know and everything that they understand. Yet they will never attain to the same place that the church spiritual will. And there's so many types in the Old Testament, and we've dealt with it before. We won't go there. But you know that in the making of the New Testament, or the making of the new will, that the testator himself, being the providential mind of God, knew that there would be people that would attain to different levels in the will itself. So he writes the will according to the purpose of him who purposed all things after the counsel of his own will. Now remember, the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, was not written based upon what you and I would be able to attain to in our own strength. Now as we looked at it Wednesday night, that there were certainly prophecies that were made. They were made concerning people and tribes and all of that. The prophecies, many of them were set forth, God before knowledge, seeing what the people would achieve too. But there were others that were written by the determinate foreknowledge of God, and that prophecy would release the power, or the Greek word exousia, which is authority, that would allow the elect of God to come up to that particular place and let that word be fulfilled in their lives. Now, if the church natural would be able to love God and serve God in this higher realm, no doubt they would do it. Who wouldn't want to be bride if you could do it on your own? But who would want to be secondary, as we'd say? Who would want to live outside the city? Who would want to live underneath the capstone of the revelation of God? Or live even farther on down to where that you was not even in the mystical embodiment of the Word? Who would want to by choice? Well, you'd think anybody in the right mind wouldn't. But yet, if you are only given the ability to be able to walk with God so far, as Lot was, as many of the different people down in the Old Testament, and this is all that you can do, and yet you love God with all that capacity that you have, and you can look at others and realize, well, you know what, that they've got more than me, and they seem like they understand more than I do, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I've cried, and I've wept, and I've prayed, and I just can't do it. Don't misunderstand me. I admire those people if they can see there are ones above them, and yet they acknowledge and realize that they probably can never walk that sort of walk. To me, that is the satisfaction that only God can be able to produce in an individual, that they sigh and they cry and they do whatever more, and they finally just come to a spot they realize, you know what, I just can't do it. But then there's another group. Now remember, in writing the will, he could write to the family, he could write an inheritance to those that are outside of the genos, which is the kind of God. He could write outside of those that will be granted the 144,000. He could write to those in Matthew chapter 25 verse 4. He could write to all different type of people in this new will or New Testament. And then they would be allotted their portion as the executor himself would anoint them to arise to that level. Now let me say this. I am so glad today to know that preachers, that people, that denomination, that politics are not the executor of this will. Because I know right off there'd be a lot of folks that leave me and you out. But you know what? No matter how many people want to leave us out, they are not the executor, and they ain't got the right to write the checks. So no matter how much they dislike me or you for whatever reason, they don't have the right to stop me from my inheritance. Because it belongs to me, and the testator become the executor, and he's the one that's going to anoint me to rise to the place that I will receive my portion of the will. Now, if you won't accept that you are whosoever will, and you want to take of the water of life freely, and if you want to come unto him, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest, and I'll give you rest to your souls, which is a temporary relief. If that's what you want, that's up to you. That's not me. When you're talking about whosoever will, guess what? My name wasn't in that. When you're talking about a John 3:16 Christian, I'm not a John 3:16 Christian. I am a John 1:1 Christian. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a St. John 10 Christian. Amen. I'm one of those sheep that were foreknown by God before the foundation of the world. When you talk church natural, that's not me. When you talk church carnal, that's not me. When you talk about Lot, that's not me. When you talk about Abraham, that's my family. When you're talking about Peter, James, and John, that's who I am. When you're talking about the elect of God, the chosen of God, the foreknown of God, the predestinated by God, those who were loved by God before the foundation of the world, now you're barking up my tree. Because that's who I am. And when you preach that part of the will, you're talking about my inheritance. You're talking about hell, that ain't where I'm going. You're talking about the tribulation period, that ain't where I'm going. You're talking about being saved and receiving eternal life, and a certain day you got saved, that ain't me. Because I always was a part of the eternal. I never started on any day. I ain't going to end on no certain day. I was before the devil. I was before time. I was before sickness. I was before trouble. I was before heartache. I am from the circle of eternity. I dropped down in a measure of time, and I'm going back up on the other side. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's who I find myself here in this will. Now watch this. The prophet said the church natural. There is a church natural. That's one made up by man. Church spiritual. You know the Bible? He says that. Yes, sir. Church natural and church spiritual. And the Bible says, cast out the bondswoman and her child Hagar, for she will not be heir with the free woman and her child. Oh my. See? So the natural church, that's going to inherit what? The binding of the sheaves. Now remember, the natural church, their inheritance is the binding together of the sheaves. But that ain't me. That ain't us. Praise the Lord. Our promise is not the binding of the sheaves. I'm not a sheaf. Praise the Lord. I'm not a shuck. Even when I was in a shock message, I wasn't a shock. Shucks, no. I was seed. I just didn't know it yet. Oh, glory. Let me tell you something, friend. It's time that we allow God to open our understanding and let us see by revelation who we are. If the Lord Jesus found a place in the scripture that spoke of himself, and when he read it, the prophet of God said when he read those places, it gave him faith. Well, if it gives Jesus Christ faith about who he is, I guarantee you one thing. We need to find our place in the will and go to reading about it and talking about it and singing about it and confessing it every day of our life. It'll give you faith. What kind of faith? Not just faith for a healing, not just faith for a headache, but a faith to change this body. Oh, glory. Notice this. Now, the binding of the sheaves, the binding of the bundles to be burned. And she will not inherit, be heir with the free woman. If the bond woman is in bondage with her organization children, she will not be heir with the free woman. Now, notice the rapture is going to be the final separating point. And the bond woman will be what? She will be bound with denomination and creeds, but the free woman has been liberated by Christ the Word. Notice now, she will not be heir with the free woman, but because the free woman's children is going in the rapture. Our portion of the will is not tribulation. When I read the tribulation, I feel sorry for those that's going to be in it. But there ain't no tears in this eye for this old boy, because that ain't who I am. I don't find my name written in that portion of the word. Well, glory. Notice she's going in the rapture, and the bondwoman's children is going to stand in the judgment. So here you see the church natural, the church spiritual. Church natural will be bound together. They'll go in the tribulation period. Many of them will give their lives, hunted down like dogs. They'll be killed for the cause. And what will happen to the free woman's children? They will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Why? Because the executor of the will said this. What was Luke 21:36? Pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. The executor is here himself. He's not just got the will written down and we're all trying to read the will and figure it out. The executor is here himself anointing our faith to our portion of the will. But at the same time, he's also dealing with the foolish virgins. Because before the bride goes, oh my, every foolish virgin has got to be saved. So God is, listen now, God is anointing and actually helping some of these denominational preachers, some of these radio preachers, TV preachers, and anointing them in their capacity of the will to say things that will reach some of them other people out there, find their place in the will. And what is it? The binding of the sheaves. That's why they ain't got faith to preach a rapturing message. They're not going in a rapture. The rapture's for the bride. Hallelujah. The rapture's for the bride, the elect seed of Abraham. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this same thought now as it comes to this. This is 1962 over to 1965. She's not there to shut. Church natural, church spiritual. There is a church natural that these women here tie. That's talking about Hagar, Sarah, and Mary. There's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. There are two different separate times, two different separate peoples under two separate. Oh my goodness, you mean the foolish virgin is not under the same covenant as the bride? If you're under that bride covenant, friend, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. If they were under the same covenant, what the prophet tells us in the seals, they think they're under the blood, but they're actually not. If they were actually under the blood would so speak for their innocence, it would be impossible for them to go through the tribulation period. But they think they're under the blood. Where were they getting that thinking? Because their preachers are telling them that stuff. All you got to do is be saved. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your Savior. And that's where they're reading there. And they take part of our scriptures and they try to apply them to them. Hold on now. And this is what we've done as well. We take part of their scriptures and apply it to us. Oh, come on now. We need to find our place, bride position, Holy Ghost filled position in the Word. It takes, oh, glory to God. It
asked the spirit of the executor himself to be able to anoint men of God to rightly divide the word of truth and separate the two covenants and separate the two people so it'll lead to the separation in the end time. Can't you see, this is why we can't dress like them. We can't act like them. We can't talk like them. Oh my. Two separate times, two different separate peoples under two different separate covenants. So is there two New Testaments? Yes and no. There's only one New Testament, but there's two New Testaments. Two in one. Glory. What's written inside there? Yeah, he'll call both of them church. They'll both be called church, but there's a bride in there. So in the New Testament is the promises to the elect. In the New Testament is the promises to those who are not by descent, but they will be given favor or mercy, and they will be saved. Do they have promises? They do. Do some of the same promises apply to both groups? They do. Some of the healing promises come exactly the same. Some of the deliverance promises, exactly the same. Can a foolish virgin be healed by the same promise of God as a wise virgin can? Can a foolish virgin be blessed materially and have all kinds of things? How? Same promises of God. But when it comes to the seed soul, here's where you divide the line. Both of them can live in a nice home, drive a nice car, be healed in their body. But God is focusing beyond the BMW in the Cadillac. God is focusing on the soul and the rapture. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Notice this now. The prophet said, that's why the rapture is different and will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by the natural carnal seed of the church. Oh my. It'll have to be the royal seed of the word of God through Abraham, the royal seed. That's why the rapture has to be first. Amen. Rapture precedes the tribulation period. Amen. Because remember, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder, prevent those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and will meet the Lord in the air. Notice again it's written, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Now here's where their will leads them to. Their will leads them to the tribulation period. They're killed. They come over after the millennium. Why? Their will does not include the foolish virgin in the millennium. But it wouldn't be appropriate for you already moved into the eighth day and skipped the seventh. You've got to be in the millennium. Why? Your bride type. Your covenant includes residing in the millennium. The church's covenant, glory, the church's will does not include them in the millennium, but yours does.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice again it's written, the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Therefore, they will not be heirs together. They will not be in the rapture together. There is absolutely a church natural, a church spiritual, a church carnal, a church spiritual. Hey friends, they're right around the message too. They're not just out younger. They're right around the message. That's why folks hang around for years and years. They don't understand what you're talking about. They can never get it. They struggle over living right. They struggle over this doctrine and that doctrine. Spend years of their life arguing with the very prophet of God that was sent to bring them out of bondage. And they want to argue with what he had to say and try to disprove what he had to say. Well, man, you got quiet on me. Watch this. There is no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinated seed of Abraham. For they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice which was Christ the Word. Now, is it respect of persons for God to do this? Is it respect of persons for God to give the bride this type of covenant and not give it to everybody. How many of y'all love your children? You love mine as much as you love yours? Aw. Every time you buy your children a pair of shoes, do you buy mine a pair? And every other child in the church? You take my kids on a vacation? Well, you're in for something if you do, I'm telling you. You mean you're just in spending money on your kids and not spending it on mine or my grandkids or other people who come to the church? How do you figure that's justice? Isn't it amazing what we do every day of our life? And we accuse God of being unjust for the very thing we do every day. Praise the Lord. It is not unjust for me to love my two daughters and feel differently toward them than I do any of the rest of the sisters here or daughters in our church. Do I love these other daughters? I do. But can I feel quite the same way about them? I cannot. Alicia and Erica came out of me. They are me expressed in another form. Now your daughters and yours and yours and yours, they're wonderful and I love them all. But they are not me. They are not my DNA. They are not of my chromosomes. They are not of my blood. They are not of my thoughts. Hallelujah to God. But when you look at the bride of Jesus Christ, she's not just another bunch of mortals that God said, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you're the ones who can go. That ain't the way God chose the bride. The bride is part of Him. She's part of His DNA. She is part of His chromosomes. And this is why He can love her with a special love above all other people. And it is pure and holy. Not unjust at all. Glory. Chew on that a while, devil. Glory. Now, what's this in a harvest time? I love this. He says, he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he come and took the book out of the right hand of him that called everything that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. That is it. The book of redemption. He redeemed all that was in the book. Now remember what we were just singing about. I know my Redeemer lives. He redeemed all that was in the book, not out of the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end. And the church said, because you're sons and daughters of God, attributes of His thoughts and His word, you have no ending of life. Amen. If your name is on that book. Amen. The Lamb come to redeem it. Now listen, not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live good and holy. You mean a holy God? Well, what's He going to do with these kind of people? He made a place for them. Because they love Him. You going to tell me any of you women in this church love me the way that woman right there does? Me and her both is going to have a problem with that. There's only one woman in here that loves me as a husband. Now the rest of you sisters, you love me and you honor me and you respect me and all that sort of thing. But there's only one in here that loves me in that way. Amen. Amen. Does that mean you're mean and cruel? Am I not going to look your way? Am I not going to try to help you? Of course I'm going to. But in what category? As your pastor. So you're my sisters. Am I going to? Well, you're not my wife. I don't speak to any females outside of my wife. I don't shake hands with no women outside of my wife. I ain't doing nothing. No, sir. But you know what? I'll say, God bless you, sis. God bless you. Anything I can do to help you, let me know. Why? Because I love you. Look at the Lord Jesus and His bride. All around the world, He's had them spread since the dawn of time. They look at Him and they love Him. They, oh my, their love for Him is so overwhelming. They don't even know where it comes from. It broke down out of this. What gives them that ability to love in that way? It's not that their flesh is any better. It's not that their will is any stronger. It's that deposit of the Almighty God. It was one of those thoughts. It was His attributes that come to them in this leg of time. What about all the rest of them, though, that try to live good life? And they're good Christians. He said, I'll make a way for you too.
Amen.
You don't want to be lost? You don't have to be.
That's right. Amen.
You want to be saved? You can be saved.
Amen.
But you'll never find in the New Testament where He says, whoever wants to be bride, let him be bride. Oh, no. There is no such a beckoning promise. That's not open for free moral agency. Oh, my. What's this? I love this. You've got eternal life. You never did begin. What are you, friends? We're not just another bunch of mortals. We're all immortals standing together. And God, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, just picks them out. All right, you're bride and you're not bride. That's not what predestination is. That's not election. That's not calling. The bride was before time. Where? Here. Each one of you tonight that are filled with the Holy Ghost, you hold in your possession an attribute which was a thought in the eternities. You don't remember it. You can't recall it. But you was there. And the church said, not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live good and holy, but those whose names were written on there. He redeemed that. And that alone, whose names were on the book.
Amen, that's true.
Only the elected has angels.
Amen.
It's part of our will. Non-elect, there's no promise that non-elect have angels.
Amen.
Just the elect.
Amen.
Glory! The elect are the ones that are redeemable. Now, there are others that are savable, but not redeemable. Redeem means to buy back, to go back where it come from. So there is a plan of redemption and a plan of salvation, and the executor anoints different preachers and sends them out according to which group they're sent to call. I'm not just sent to preach salvation. I'm sent to preach redemption to the redeemable. Now, I preach salvation and I preach redemption. And I preach it as if though it's for everybody. But yet I know it's not. Only those who have the ear to respond will respond to the redemptive call. And if not, they'll simply respond to the call of salvation and they will be saved. But the elect hear a different voice. They hear a voice that sounds like home to me. Like where I long to be. Something that's beyond them. Oh, hallelujah. What is it? It is the executor himself calling them through the voice of reconciliation. You can't reconcile somebody that was never there. You can't redeem somebody that was never there. But you can save them. Well, Brother Darnell, aren't the bride saved? They are. They're saved and redeemed both. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. Not changed species. You're looking at me funny, but you won't when I read you that in the scripture. Now what? Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Easter seal. There's only one life, one eternal spirit, one eternal life, and that's God. God alone. It's the eternal. And then we being His children are part of Him. That is the attribute of His thinking. And the thought expressed and becomes a word. Then the individual is here that possesses this eternal life was before the foundation of the world in God's thinking. So it was an attribute. Then it become a word. Then the individual receives that attribute of God down in their soul. And they have eternal life living in them. Because you're an attribute. That's an expression of a thought. That has become a word. And a word has taken life. And it's eternal. Lord, children, do you realize what a miracle you are? Do Do you realize what's happened to you? That's the reason we have eternal life. In the same principle that the great Son of God, the Redeemer, we become sons and daughters of God through the same Spirit, by the same foreknowledge of God. Oh, hallelujah. By the same Spirit, through the same foreknowledge. Don't you understand? Your past is exactly in line with the Lord Jesus. He was an attribute, and then He became the Word. Then He became a man. Hallelujah! You was an attribute, and you become a Word. Then you become a human being. The church. The church carnal. The church natural. They have a soul that tells them right and wrong. They were not an attribute. They were not a germ. But yet they're savable. So they hear and they feel sorry for their sins, and God forgives them, and they receive that forgiveness of their sins. And the prophet said in future home that those past sins are chopped off. Just chopped off. Has nothing to do with future sins. So that past life is just chopped off and they're saved. So they never come from there. How are they going to get back? The plan of salvation in the will. Glory to God. But you are part of the plan of redemption. So the plan of redemption that was up here going around the circle of eternity, it drops down here in this leg of time, and God starts acting out the kinsman redeemer. And remember, the word Goel was one which was kin, but he must be one who's worthy. He must be one that has the ability, the finances. Amen. I was in real debt of sin, but my Father, my loving husband, the Lord Jesus, had all the finances to loose me from my sins and pay my debt completely. So I'm not just saved. I ain't just got the Holy Ghost in my spirit. I ain't just got the Holy Ghost to give me gifts. I'm redeemed back into the circle. Wow, it's one of His thoughts. I become a Word. Then I become a man. Then I become born again. Now I'm back into the eternal again. This is who I am in the well. Anybody else in here with me? Can I go a bit farther? Good. Smyrnian church age now, without getting too involved in the subject of the sovereignty of God, for that would take a book in itself. Well, I'd ought to read that whole book, wouldn't you? Let me point out here that according to these verses, Jesus Christ is choosing His own bride, just the same as men chooses their brides today. The bride today doesn't simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. If Hillary becomes president, they may do it, because they don't tell what laws are going to change. No, sir. It is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. Don't you see when people think they're the one who chose him first? Don't you see when they think they're the ones that had something to do with it, how opposite they are to the Word of God? Even opposite to nature. How would you like it if your daddy would have picked your wife? What about your grandpa? What about some girl you went to school and said, hey, I mean, you was getting married. I said, well, no. Oh, yeah, sure. You ain't got nothing saying this. I'm the woman. Bless God, I got three more agents and I want you to marry me. You didn't choose the Lord Jesus. He chose you. Notice St. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, according to the Word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in Himself. Amen. Ephesians 1:9. And in Romans 9:11, it says that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose. Notice, not the mind purpose. But the heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God, was to take a bride of His own choosing. And that purpose was in Himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. And He didn't need your permission. Bless God, Brother Donnie, I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God. I'm the one who made up my mind. Right. Right. It's when you made up your mind, when you made such a mess out of yourself. It's only when God, by sovereignty, was able to get a hold of you and get you straightened out. Notice, watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was even God. God is an object of adoration. No one was there to worship him. So he at that time was only potentially God. And he was known as the eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. Now the church wasn't there. By foreknowledge, now he knows they will be there. This is how he can harden Pharaoh's heart. By foreknowledge, you see, friend, this is where that we flipped over things that pertain to the church and we've tried to make them fit into the bride. By foreknowledge, he saw what Pharaoh would do. That's why he could say he could harden his heart. He saw what Judas would do. He saw what many would do. Many of the people around the message have got predestination in the same way. They think God looked at the bride the way that he looked at Pharaoh and looked at Judas and said, well, I see what Judas is going to do, so I'm going to go ahead and predestinate him to be the son of perdition. I see what Pharaoh is going to do, I'm going to predestinate him to be me. And I see what this man's going to do, and what I see, old Charlie, now I see Charlie's going to be a pretty good old feller. I see he's going to want a sermon. So I tell you what, I think I'll choose Charlie since Charlie's going to choose me. You knothead. You're applying things that fit to them other people. You're applying things that fit to them. That don't fit the bride. The bride's a separate people. She's a separate covenant. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. Are they not? The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you'll see many things. But let me reverse it. If you don't see this, there's many things you won't see. This one simple key is what keeping so many folks from seeing the truth of the election of God. If you can see this, you'll see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. Now, I cut part of this out. You can read the whole thing if you'd like, just to save time. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint that he's drawn up, which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal. And part of God. Down through the centuries we could go. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Now wait a minute, Brother Donnie. God predestinated the church, but God don't know who's in it. Now where did you hear that trash? Or I heard a preacher a couple of years ago say, well, God knew, God knew everybody that'd be saved, but he hid it from himself. I thought, no, he hid it from you. He hid it from himself. Boy, you got a penny God, ain't you? Why would he want to hide the very heart purpose of his own being? This is what he's longed for. This is what he's craved and thirsted after. A people that was his own kind. A people which was of his own DNA. A people that, amen, that the Spirit and the bride could say, come, do you understand how long God has waited for that? For a people on the earth that could have the mind of God and the executor so living in them that the executor in heaven would think it and they would act it out on the earth. They don't have to be begged to do it. They don't have to be borrowed to do it. You don't have to buy them to do it. He thinks that they do it. Why? They are like him. They are part of him. You mean to tell me Moses, the person Moses, was an eternal thought of God? Jeremiah was a thought. So God didn't just think about a body, but God thought of individuals. Amen. Now here's where the Presbyterians have heart attacks. And they believe in predestination. God didn't just think of a group. And then somehow you struggle to see if you're one of them groups. He thought of you. You see, the woman at the well was one of those attributes of God.
Peter was a predestinated seed. Peter didn't receive the predestinated seed being the Word. He was the predestinated seed. Hang tight. I didn't just receive the predestinated seed out of the Word and the Message. I am the predestinated seed. Listen to me close and don't get my anger and all bent out of shape. I was before there was a Bible. I was before there was one of Brother Branham's tapes. I was before there was one of Brother Branham's books. Come on now, don't get quiet. Listen to what I'm saying. And listen, friend, when it's all said and done, are we all going to gather up there in heaven and do adoration to the Bible? Are we going to just sit around and worship our Bible and then play the tapes all through eternity? The tapes were sent for the living Word. The written will of God was sent to bring you to a recognition of who you are. So what's heaven going to consist of? A bunch of tape players and a bunch of book holders and bookcases? Jesus didn't say, behold, I go away to prepare a bookcase. And if I go away and prepare a bookcase, I will come again and receive your books unto myself, that where I am, there your books may be also. He's coming after books, all right, but it's the book of David and the book, oh, hallelujah, and the book of Wes and the book of Donnie and the book of you and you and you. That Word of God made flesh. He'll not take my Bible in the rapture. He'll take my Bible made flesh in the rapture. If I wasn't so old, I'd try to preach it to you. Y'all are thinking, good Lord, thank God he's got a little bit of age on him. You think I get carried away now? You wait till I get there and me and David get together.
What's this? A Moses, a Jeremiah, John the Baptist. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. Now it says he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God. Listen to me. The bride was in the mind of the eternal with Jesus. Why would anybody not want to believe this? Why would anybody just want to fight this? I've come to a realization that some of these poor old folks around the Message that don't see this, many of them, they're probably living out their portion of the will. That's as far as they can go. But I'm glad I can go farther. I don't say that out of pride or arrogance myself. I say it because I can see it by revelation of the Word of God. The Scripture says it, the Message says it, and then myself, everywhere I see it, the more I read, the more I study, the more I see, I'm thinking, how in the world can people not see this? But I realize it's God's grace. It's God's grace. That's your part of the will. If the Father give you a house and a car and 47 cows and 332 donkeys and 45 ostriches and 337 bluebirds and 1,292 turtles and 384 blackback horses and give you this and other and give this other boy over here a donkey and a cow and three lollipops, you know what? You ought to take everyone and say, well, I feel so sorry for him. Well, I do too. But this is what the will said I could have. I feel sorry for people that don't feed like this. I feel sorry for people that have to scrape a living by. I do, but I ain't going to stop eating just because they ain't got it. If that portion includes my will, hallelujah! If I can have the fullness of joy, and that's what my will says, I'm going to get it. If I can be drunk on the Holy Ghost every day of my life and be filled with it, I'm going to have it. We were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality. Amen. To the elect. You can't get away from that. You know as well as I know. We are not just different because of our dress. But when you run into real elect, there's something about them that's different. Because you can run into all kinds of women with dresses on. You go to Africa and a lot of them third world countries, a lot of them women there still wear dresses. Predominantly wear dresses. Right, Brother David? Some of your brothers has been overseas. So it ain't the dress alone. It ain't the hair alone. But there's something about the quality of the elect. Their spirit is different. Their conversation is different. Their hunger for the word. Their hunger for the presence of God. Others just nonchalantly, they're a Christian. Well, I'm going to go to church whether I need to or not. I'm going to do this. And that. But the elect, they have a quality about them. You can't learn it. You can't share it. You can't teach it. You can't pick it up. It's given to you. Why? The presence of that seed. That seed emanates that quality. Oh, hallelujah. It cannot be impersonated. You might shout and speak in tongues like us. You may quote the same word. But this quality cannot be impersonated. It is from the eternal himself. It is a quality that the elect share around the world. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. You cannot get away from it. Those who are the royal seed are the elect of God. Are the predestinated, foreknown of God. And were in the mind of God and his thoughts in very plain language. The true bride of Christ. Brother Donnie, didn't you just read this recently? I did. And I'm probably going to read it again. And again, and again. I'd like to read it so much so every one of you, when I go to quoting it, that you all can't even sit in your seat. Because you know it so well. Not know it up here so well, but know it right here so well that you're like racehorses sitting there back there behind the gate. Because it's been so real to you. Oh, friend, may God help us that it remains not just on this page tonight and on that screen. May it become so real to us that we can look in the mirror and say, Daddy, that's me. Daddy, that's me he's talking about. Oh, glory to God. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. It's not something down here. It's not something you started. It's not something you chose. It's something you accepted because you were chosen. Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. Was she highly favored before she agreed to the word? Listen now. Or was she highly favored after she said, well, being unto me according to thy word? The angel said, well, now I've seen your choice and now I'll bless you. She was highly favored before she ever agreed. He knew she would agree. He knew you would agree. What was it that helped you to agree? The highly favored. Amen! You see, we've got it backwards. We've got our will. Oh, our will. That's what does everything ties around. It don't tie around your will. It ties around his sovereignty. The true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed. Until each one, listen to this now, how individual this is. Each thought coming from the mind of God. Millions of them. Because he wanted a big family. Spoken words in original seed, 1962. He said God predestinated a world of sons and daughters of God. And the original plan was come by the spoken word. Once man failed, then what did he do? Took the book of life back. He kept in his own hand. Now he disperses them back. Instead of coming into existence in the Garden of Eden, he disperses them back by natural birth, sexual reproduction. And whenever they come to the earth, they'll be born over spans of time. But every one of them that was there wind up back before him in a body. A thought, a word, a human, a glorified mortal. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Each one come forth in the designated decreed season. Friend, do you realize this is your time? As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. The same God who said, let there be light. Let there be trees. Let there be fish. Let there be this. The same God spoke you. And you. And you. And you. You are the literal spoken word seed of God.
And the spoken word is the original seed. You see, the written word. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. The written word comes in this format right here. It's been translated. It's been from Latin on down to this and that and the other. The written word is not the spoken. The written word is not the original seed. The spoken word is the original seed. The written word is a secondary form by which God chose in order for us to have and be able to read it. But before it was ever written down, it was spoken. As I told you before, the apostles preached for nearly 30 years without a New Testament even being written. How'd they do it? Spoken word. So spoken word preachers are preaching spoken word sermons. If we had a whole lot more spoken word preachers today preaching spoken word sermons instead of dry letters, come on now, don't get quiet, and just quoting a dead letter, it takes a spirit of God to quicken that letter and make it alive. And if you got a spoken word preacher, Lord of mercy, if you got a spoken word preacher that's got a spoken word birth, that's preaching the spoken word from the spoken God, you ain't going to have nothing but a powerful church, friends. And it's going to produce a rapture while it's spoken word. Thus this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that. For she was predestinated in Him. Came from the same source. Was eternal with Him. Two different people, two different covenants, from two different places. She came from the same source. This is why He's not ashamed to call them brothers. They were brothers here before they were brothers down here. Where did Jesus, the humanity of God, come from? The mind of God. Hang tight. And where did you come from? The mind of God. Lord have mercy. No wonder the prophet said, when she sees who she is, the rapture will go. Many more services like this, I'm not sure I can take it. Grab these notes and take over if I go flying out of here, one of your preachers. Oh, hallelujah. Do you honestly think it's going to be you believing your Arminian doctrine that's going to give you rapture and faith? You honestly believe it's going to be you thinking that you come down here and you make this choice and you done this and the other and that's going to give you rapture and faith? I tell you no. But when you, by the grace of God, can open up and peer back into the eternal and realize before you was ever a mortal, you was with Him. Before there was ever any devil, you was with Him. Before there was ever any earth, you was with Him. And when there is no more devil, you will be with Him. When there is no sickness, when there is no trouble, you'll still be eternal with Him, because that's where you come from and that's where you're going back to. For my own health, I'm going to see if I can find a place to stop. Sometimes I feel like the rapture is going to begin right here one night. She was predestinated in Him and came from the same source, was eternal with Him, and is now manifesting God in a many-member body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. As the eternal Logos God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh. Not two lords, not two gods. The same God in humanity. And thereby gained the title of Son. Lord Jesus, surely not. Surely He ain't going to do this. No. No. It won't be allowed. There's no way. But He's already done it. He's going to go straight from Jesus coming from the thought of God, the Logos of God, and He's going to go directly to the rest of the family?
Thank you, Lord. That eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so. Even so. Even so. We. Eternal in his thoughts. In our turn. Became the many membered spoken word seed. Manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed there is nothing to quicken. Can they be saved? Yes. Can they be in heaven? Yes. But you've got to have seed in order to be quickened. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is why you were born again. Who did the Spirit fall on at Pentecost? Sons. Who did the Spirit fall on at Corinth? Sons. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption. Restoring to original owner by means of purchase or paying the price, and thereby placed us as sons. This chokes the devil and a bunch of the message folks too. He did not make us sons. We're already his sons. But he placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We needed to be saved from what? Our sins. We couldn't be recognized as sons and daughters because we were in our sins and in the flesh. We couldn't be recognized. It wasn't that we wasn't, but we couldn't be recognized that we was. So it's the same thing as you was and if you was, but you can't be recognized that you was. So he comes down and redeems you, saves you, and then leads you to the second step, the higher stage, and that is redemption to help you see you was already a son. But you just couldn't recognize. You couldn't recognize. Nobody else could recognize. Why? Because you didn't see it. And the smut of the world was all around that seat. You couldn't see yourself. Oh, glory. But you got saved from your sin. And then the mystery of reconciliation and redemption began to work on your soul. And you thought, there's got to be more to this than just being saved. There's got to be more to this than me making up my mind. There's got to be more to this. What was it? The mystery of redemption working itself out in you. Can I read two more scriptures? You see, in this will, there's an elect group. In this will as well as whosoever will and all that. Matthew 1:21, the angel speaking. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he won't save people to become his people. But he will save his people from their sins. Now, can he save people who are not his people to come into his kingdom? Yes. But see, that part of the will don't apply to us, though we have. We've applied it to us. But you see, this is the application of the elect. He shall save his people, already his people. Oh, glory to God. On this next verse, I'm not responsible for my actions. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And what I find so amazing is that preachers, message preachers, heard one not long ago, and he tried to use this scripture to disprove predestination.
And I thought, you poor blind fella. All you have to do is look at the meanings of these words. Y'all ready? As many as received him, to them gave he power, exousia, authority, jurisdiction, the ability or strengths with which one is endued, the power of authority, influence, and of right. As many as received him, to them gave he authority to become. Now you see, to the carnal natural mind, it sounds like you're becoming something that you ain't. But let's just look at this word become and see if that's actually what it means. Come to pass. To them that received him, he gave them authority to come to pass. Have mercy. He gave you the authority and the jurisdiction to come to pass, not to become another species, not to become something different, but you are a prophetic word. Oh Lord God, you are a prophetic word, and he releases the authority and the jurisdiction to make you come to pass. This is why, friends, you'll not stop the elect from going in the rapture. This is why you'll not stop the rapture. Why? It will come to pass. You are coming to pass. You are coming to pass. You are becoming. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Let me read you a couple more scriptures now that go with this one. Matthew 7:28. The very same Greek word now on become is this word. And it came to pass. When Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done. Same Greek word. Now, different English word. What is it? It'll come to pass. Matthew 19:10. And it came to pass. As Jesus said it, meet in the house. Matthew 13:53. And it came to pass. As many as received him, to them gave he the jurisdiction to come to pass. You are a word from God. A prophecy, a thought. And when the sin was eradicated away from your life, it set in motion the coming to pass of your destiny. Don't you understand? This very day, you are coming to pass. God became a man, but in his thinking, he already was. So what did he do? He came to pass of what his thoughts was. Glory. So what are you? You were a thought, an attribute of God. And then God gave you the power to come to pass. Look out, devil. We are coming to pass. Hang with me now. This day, these scriptures are being fulfilled. Friends, don't you understand? This is why it's totally impossible to stop this message. Folks that are trying to and try to stop this church or this preacher or any other God call man, they are beating their head against the rock wall. It is God's words. God's words never fail. But it's not just a preacher in a church. It's you as an individual. If you are a thought of God, a word that come from God, you are coming to pass. And there is nothing going to stop you. Let's stand. Do you see, does John 1:13 apply to everybody out here? It does not. Well, many of them will not become sons. They're saved. They're church. Church carnal. Church natural. They're not coming to pass. They have no word from the eternal speaking of their existence, Brother John. So they say, well, whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely, that will come to pass in their life. But they never dropped out of here. God in his mercy will pull them right back up. But you were right there in the eternal. When he thought of himself, when he thought of you, he thought of Moses, he thought of Jeremiah, he thought of all of us as a family. Millions of those thoughts. He's been waiting now for maybe billions of years, as we'd say in time, aeons of ages, waiting for you to come to pass.
Amen.
You know how prophecy unfolds. Some of it unfolds a little at a time. That's where our lives are. We started unfolding when we got saved. We unfolded a little bit more when we found out we was redeemable. And we're unfolding. Some of you blossomed out right here tonight, sitting under the influence of this word. You've come to pass a little bit more. I've seen it on your face. It's quickened all over this building tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you understand what that's doing? The anointed word of the hour is quickening even more so that in your life. And you're coming to pass. You're coming to pass. It's like the stages and the prophecies of our life. And God will allocate so much of the excusia, the authority. The excusia must be received by us from the presence of God. We can never make this happen. We long for it. The seed in us longs for it. We long and we wait and we wait. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh Lord, here it comes, here it comes. Like, why didn't that happen before? The excusia must release to you the power you need to come to pass. No matter how much we want the rapture and how much we long for it, whenever it comes time, God will release the authority of the body change. And then you will come to pass. We which are alive and remain. Right now that is a prophecy. But before long it will come to pass. Amen. Who's it going to come to pass then? Those people who are already coming to pass. The resurrection is for the resurrected. The rapture is for the raptured. The coming to pass of the rapture is for those who are coming to pass.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think of it, friend. The executor himself. He was the one who called you. He was the one who called you. And started making his will known to your life. Dealing with you. He's all messed up in the world and sin and whatever more. But the executor won't let you go. He won't let you go. Them attributes can really be fouled and messed up in sin and embodiment of humanity. But he will not lose one. He's here to see that everyone is brought to that spot. When the last one is fully redeemed and the book is called, oh my, the executor will change clothes. It's not fitting for you to see him in a lamb outfit. Hallelujah. So he changes his garment and he don't walk out. We don't meet him as a lamb. We don't meet him with blood all over him. We meet him as the king. Hallelujah, our husband. It's not fitting for you. You know, Paul's not even seen him yet. Peter's not seen him yet. They're there in that dimension. They're waiting. They're waiting. They've been up there for 2,000 years now, waiting for that time just under the altar of God. You think you want to see him? Peter's been there for all this time waiting. But they'll all be introduced. All the elect Gentiles, all the elect bride will be introduced at one time. You imagine the anticipation. In the heart of the executor, that he wants to stand there and say, I want to execute the power of the rapture. It is in me to do it. I have the authority to call the dead. I have the authority to release to my children that they can come to pass from a mortal to an immortal. You step out and change his clothes, and when he does, and the angels see him with his kingly garments on there. It's time. Can you imagine? You imagine how God must orchestrate that. That every member of the elect bride around the world must be ready at the same sequence of time. And he won't be able to change clothes and stay apart for 24 hours. If he left us down here 24 hours, somebody's going to need a high priest. Can you imagine synchronizing the whole thing around the world? Where that the Lamb will go in and change his clothes and every elect member will be ready and stay ready long enough. And he'll call and release exousia. And that Holy Ghost that makes you quicken your soul right now and quicken your body to the Word and lay aside this and lay aside that. That same Holy Ghost, it'll be like a thought.
coming from the mind of God. Rapture. 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 And that Holy Ghost in you says, rapture. 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 Don't need to be texted or called or emailed. You'll catch it faster than any text ever flew. It'll travel like a salt. Oh, praise God. Lord, children, let His Word come to pass in you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how mighty You are, Lord. How wonderful. Oh, Father God, I pray You to help us, Lord. It was You that started us on this journey. Years ago, I used to think I started my journey then at that little church in the Pines, Lord. I didn't know nothing about election. I didn't know really nothing about salvation. I had to ask Mama how to get saved. But really, that's as far as I could break loose in time, I guess, and understand. Little did I know, I started my journey a long time before then. I didn't realize it then, but when You were on the earth 2,000 years ago, the prophet of God said, I was in Your loins. No wonder when I get to preaching about the woman at the well, it's like I'm there. Really, I guess I was. I go to preaching about Mount Transfiguration and You breaking that bread and fishes, and it's like I'm sitting right there in the crowd. I guess I was. I was in You. When I preach Calvary, Lord, I feel the pain. I feel the sobbing. I was there. When I preach the resurrection and You getting up, it's like it was so a part of me. It ain't no wonder. I was there with You. Hallelujah. The prophet says that somehow God made me pay for my sins in that body. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily was headed up in that one person. God made me pay for my sins in that one body. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship You tonight. It is You who has brought the prophecy of our lives thus far. We believe it'll be You. As long as we constantly walk in harmony and fellowship, that will unfold each stage of our prophecy. Glory to God. As a little 12-year-old boy, You gave me the authority to believe that You could save me. As I went on sometime later, Lord, and received the Pentecostal gift, it was You that gave me the authority. I'm still learning more and more as I go. Now, Father, the adoption of sonship is what we long for when our bodies will be changed. Help us, Lord. Help us to come to pass. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Can we raise our hands? How many wants to come to pass? Come to pass. Your prophecy of Your life. God spoke Your word, Your life, into existence before the foundation of the world. And it was purely a thus saith the Lord. Your life is not a diglot. Your life is not a concordance. Your life is not a commentary. You are a thus saith the Lord. A spoken word seed from God. Praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. The executor is right here with us tonight. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need deliverance for something in your life. All that's in You will. May He just anoint you to find your place in the Word. And anoint your faith to receive and let it come to pass in your life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship You tonight, Heavenly Father. We bless Your name, Lord. Can we just make love to him now from our hearts, children? Remember, you're not church now. You're not church natural. You're not church carnal. You're bride. Bride loves him different. Bride worships him different. Bride don't just wait on sensations and emotions. Bride worships him from her soul, with or without feeling, with or without anointing, soul to soul, word to word, life to life, power to power. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, sing something. Let's just worship together now. Praise God. How many loves him tonight with all your heart? I hope you saw yourself a little clearer in the Word. Did you? Did you see yourself a little clearer in the Word? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you read about Judas, the devil will try to convince you it's you. Maybe you look at your life and you see failures and shortcomings, and it might be easier for you to identify with Judas sometimes than it is with Peter, James, or John. But you have to look at not where you are at present tense, but look at what your destiny is going to be. And look at what your soul desire is. I may have mistakes and shortcomings, but I'm not a mistake. I'm an attribute of God. Mistakes are only temporary setbacks that I go through in my life, but that's not who I am. I'm not a mistake. I'm a spoken word from God. And I am coming to pass. Praise be to God. Glory. Let's worship him together. Hey. Let's sing a little bit, can we? And just worship our Lord. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
According to thy word.
Oh yes, Lord.
According to thy word. Oh Lord, I pray. Thy word.
Thank you, Jesus.
According to thy word.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Sing it together now.
Be it unto me.
Lord.
According to this word. Open the eyes of my heart.
In tattered garments clad, while struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, yet he shouted, deliverance. That will come in palm of victory crown, of glory palms of victory I shall wear.
Into the city, and the same people begin to break off palm branches and lay them out, and they take the garments and lay them out in the street. They thought in their mind he was coming in to be crowned king of Jerusalem. Little did they know he was fixing to begin the Holy Week and going to be crucified. Let me tell you one thing, friends. One of these days, you think of it, you lowly people living down here in the mountains of Tennessee or West Virginia, wherever you're from, the Spirit of God will allow you to join that heavenly band, and we'll cast our crowns down at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You talking about a triumphal march when the saints of God start heavenward one day? Amen. And we say to them gates, lift you up and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, mighty and battle. The saints of God will come right down, millions strong. All the saints of God, hallelujah, the elect. And we proudly display the blood of Jesus Christ on our chest. The prophet of God said the message of the hour for the day that we live in. You talking about palms of victory. All the troubles, all the things we went through in life will seem as nothing. I don't think we ought to wait till the end. I think we ought to have a little victory right now, don't you, in this life. Amen. Let's take our palm branches as it was. Oh, wouldn't have you done it that day? Let's sing it together, hey. Let's wave our palm branches while we're singing it. Oh, palms of victory crown, of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear thin palms of victory crowns, of glory, palm of victory, I shall wear. I saw him in the evening.
I saw him in the evening. The sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reached the veil below. He saw that pyramid city, his everlasting home. And he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. A victory crown, a glory comes, a victory I shall wear. Ten palm, a victory crown.
Thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you, church, in the morning. I'm going home. I'm going soon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going back to where I came from. I left as a thought, but I'm going back as a body. I left as a thought, but I'm going back as a man. God bless you, saints. Turn and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of God. I'm sure most of you probably know. If you don't, the Ruth meetings will begin next week, starting Tuesday night. Brother Wayne Lawson will be speaking, and I'll be speaking Wednesday night, Lord willing. Brother Ron Spencer Thursday night, and I'll be speaking again Friday night. And then Brother Wayne Lawson will be coming here to be with us on Saturday and Sunday. So we're just looking for a great week. Amen. So if you can come over and be in the meetings, you're certainly welcome. If you can't go, then pray for us while we're there. But for those of you who haven't heard Brother Wayne, I'm sure you'll be blessed and be helped by him. He's a very gifted, fine brother.
The only drawback I have about having him here is probably once you hear him, you won't want to hear me again. No wore out guy, but I reckon I'm going to suffer the risk of it. So we'll be greatly blessed. I'm not making fun. He's a great brother, great, gifted brother. So we want to just come expecting the Lord. You know what? We just have so much to look forward to.
Amen.
We have so much to look forward to. Just every day with Jesus, something to look forward to. Thank God. I mean, you know what? I love camp meetings and I love special meetings, but to me, just Wednesday night service is pretty special. Saturday night service, Sunday morning service, I mean, it's pretty awesome. Just wherever he is, it's pretty awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you, Lord willing, in the morning. I'm going home. I'm going soon. Together, God bless you. I love you. I've always been. Think about it now. Really? Why? Why you're a stranger? But now I'm going home. Sing the chorus together again, everybody.